Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. April 29th, 2024. The Caps have been swept. We will discuss that as we go today. The Nationals have a chance to sweep the Marlins and even their season record at 500. We will preview the game later. And the Commanders have a new 9-player draft class that will do the heavy lifting for us today here on G&D. Daniel, how are you?
I'm fantastical, my friend. It's hot. It's hot in the hot tub. We had a little transition. Freezing rainy on Saturday. Miserable. 9 different youth sporting events. Numbers approximate. And all of a sudden, steam bath on Sunday. It is here. We've done the D.C. thing where we hand back 3 servings of spring, go right to summer. But we're doing it, my friend. And the local football team drafted, dude. It is a broad class. They have a theme, which is excellent athletes. That was kind of the theme. If you look at some of the relative athletic scores, that's kind of been the buzz phrase going around here. All these guys score really highly on that. It looks like the Peters Newmark Law Firm have a type.
Yes, they do. I'm excited about the draft class. I think Washington did a really good job. One of the themes going into rounds 2 and 3 on Friday night for me was to see what type of analytical dive, what type of, you know, next gen stats kind of emphasis they put on the selection process, because they didn't necessarily make that a huge priority in the Quinn hire, I didn't think. And to a lesser extent, even though there's plenty of analytics you can find that are Jaden Daniels friendly, they went with the scouting and the eyeballs of this superstar athlete, the likes of which there was nobody else in the country this year. So I was wondering if that's maybe the way of this front office moving forward. But the fact is, they went heavy and hard in the paint with athletes, with some of the analytics and the data on the rest of their draft, which was really good to see. And they ended up with a 9-player class that we will be breaking down in detail here in moments. But a few things I think that are notable. Number one, if you watched all of the phone calls from Peters and from Quinn, I think what you saw was they basically had a similar spiel to every single player. And I don't think it was a lack of creativity or them not knowing what to say. They drafted these guys because they fit exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. Like, Daniels was very different. He's a superstar. He's the quarterback. He's going to make the whole thing work or not. But after that, really starting at Johnny Newton, the way that these guys play, they said he got the commander tag, which presumably is like a sticker they put on certain players on their draft board that mean you are everything we want in our prospects. From the D-tackle Newton to when you're calling a linebacker in the 5th round to when you're picking your safety at the end of the draft, they called these guys and they said, we've been watching the tape. You're everything we look for. You arrive violently. You play fast. I think that they have a type, to your point, not just the athletics and the RAS scores, but the way these guys play and they're going to build the team in that image. That was good to see.
Yeah, there's it's a design, right? This is how they wanted to do it. And it's interesting, that second round as they're moving around the board, and I love the general principle of turning 2 second-rounders into 3 second-rounders. I'd rather have 3 second-rounders than a fourth. I'd rather have 3 second-rounders than, you know, a sixth rounder or whatever, the places that they were missing. So I'm always in favor of that maneuverability. I know maybe somebody had posted a chart that they didn't actually gain that much value by trading back with Philadelphia. Fine by me. Give me more second-round picks, please, and thank you, especially in a draft that's pretty deep.
Yeah, instead of just Sanristil, let's say, you got Sanristil and Sinat.
Exactly, and I'm in favor of that very much so. It was interesting, though. It was hard for me at the time not to feel a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, I would say slightly disappointed, where I'm going, oh, look at this. It's all falling the way that I was hoping, right? And we don't know anything. All I've done is read what everyone else has read. And you know, you follow these prognosticators, these evaluators that are constantly posting their rankings, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world and so on. And I'm going, dude, this could be incredible. They could go wide receiver, tackle, tight end, and I'm doing tripod spin kicks and you know, jumping off my roof into a pool, doing cannonballs. I'm so excited. And then they played it differently. They went with, no, this is what our board said. This is the next best player, maybe regardless of need at times. They found guys that fit that athletic profile, and they were excited.
So let's go through the picks here and break them down one by one. We spent a lot of time Friday on Jaden Daniels. Frankly, we spent a lot of time for months on Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. He is the Heisman winner. He is the Davey O'Brien Award winner, best quarterback in the country. He was the Offensive Player of the Year in the SEC. He just authored one of the best college seasons in history. He is the first quarterback in SEC history to throw for 3,800 and to run for 1,000 in the same season. We'd never seen anybody pull off the dual threat excellence that he did. He combined for 4,950 passing yards and 50 touchdowns with just 4 interceptions this past season. Hard to have a better year unless you're playing a video game than Jaden Daniels did at LSU against some of the stiffest competition in the country, playing in the hardest conference to play in and thrive in. He had 90 plays in 2023, this past season, of 20-plus yards. He is the most explosive player in the country, and he can throw a hell of a deep ball. 67% of his deep passes this year were completed, 22 touchdowns, no interceptions on those deep passes of 20 or more yards. He's obviously got some questions he's going to have to answer with the frame, but it's very obvious why they did what they did. I talked to a couple people in the last 48 hours around the league who help run draft rooms, and they reiterated essentially what we kept hearing from the pro Daniels people that we had on the show, which was the conversation kind of starts and ends with, yeah, but man, the worst case scenario is he's one of the greatest running quarterbacks who's ever lived. Like, I think at this point in 2024, talent evaluators start with, can you break a defense's back leaving the pocket running? And then they kind of work back from that. Now, Jaden Daniels also happens to be very capable as a passer. I think he comes out in a better place, more polished than, say, Lamar Jackson was. But I just bring this up to say, when I point out or ask people, whether it's with Washington or with other teams, and I go, but what about ... any of these perceived issues? They kind of come back to, whereas the Commanders call it, you know, he'll snatch a defense's soul. How petrifying a playmaker he is. How hard it is to defend him. And maybe we're just at a point where my proclivity of, can you win from the pocket on third when everyone knows you're throwing it, is antiquated, which I think he might be able to. My point is not to say that he can't. My point is that's not even the argument being made. Mm-hmm. The argument is, he might be able to win by ripping off 15 and just breaking your back and leaving you on the sideline searching for answers. But the idea is, when you talk about J.J. McCarthy, he might be able to become a really good passer. When you talk about Drake May, he might be able to become a really good passer. With Jaden Daniels, you've got this whole other element that makes him a much safer bet to be an outstanding NFL player.
Which I think is a great perspective on it, right? I mean, to me, it reminds me of a conversation you and I had years ago with Nationals GM Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops and so on, about Trey Turner. There are other guys in the league that were all as fast or a little bit faster, like Billy Hamilton, who was a world-class sprinter or that caliber of speed. And his point always was, Trey Turner's a baseball player who's really fast. I think of Jaden Daniels as a quarterback who's also really fast.
Yeah.
right? So that's what was so exciting to me, and all the numbers and the alarming stats and some of the things to nitpick about, I'm aware of them. I'm kind of going, I hear that. But still, like that, and that's not a great argument, but I think that's kind of where they started as well with that. In other words, going, the floor is, as you said, I think you said it very well, the floor is we have a weapon that's really hard to stop. It's a pain in the butt to play against,
at the
minimum.
That's the word. Teams are looking for the best weapon, the best athlete playing quarterback, and they'll kind of figure the rest out, and that's clearly what Washington cared about. For the record, today on McAfee Show on ESPN, Adam Schefter said that he thinks the decision for the Commanders at 2 came down to Daniels versus McCarthy. And it wasn't much of a decision, presumably. It was always Daniels, mm-hmm. as it turns out, and as we found out about a week before the draft. But Schefter's point was they were not taking Drake May.
Mm.
Like, this was Daniels versus McCarthy. Now, he didn't go hard with that, but that was kind of his suggestion. He was all obviously on it the whole way, so he was talking to someone, and they've been feeding him a pretty... Well, he's been eating good,
yeah.
from Washington's standpoint all off season long. So I just think that is notable. Their second selection came in round 2, pick 36, Johnny Newton. He is a D tackle from Illinois. He's 21 years old. He's about 6'2", 305 pounds, was a first-team All-American, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, had 8.5 tackles for loss and 7.5 sacks in 12 games this season. Over the last 2 years, 22.5 tackles for loss. Just going back and watching the highlights, the word I would use to describe him is disruptive. Like, he is explosive for a big boy up front. He gets up the field. He can rush the quarterback. And I thought about a million times as I was watching his plays, the comments of Joe Witt where he's like, "We arrive violently." Like, this guy is a world eater. When he gets, I mean, it's amazing. When he gets to the ball carrier, oftentimes the quarterback, he's like slinging them and picking them up and body slamming them, like a WWE style finisher. Big boy, is one of 5 brothers in his family. He played on the same high school team with 3 of his brothers at one point. A couple of them are twins. This was Adam Peters after the Johnny Newton pick discussing the new defensive tackle.
Starting with Johnny Newton. And Johnny, we could not believe he was still there. And We were a little nervous that he wasn't going to make it to us at 36. We looked at moving up to get him. Very surprising. We had a first round grade on him, and he is an explosive, violent player. He's a team captain. He got the commander tag, and he's exactly who we want to bring in this building. We think he's an advanced player. He can come in and play right away. Really a 3-down player. You can play on the rundowns, play on pass downs. Skilled, hands and feet are tied together, and he arrives violently when he gets the ball, and he plays just like we want him to play. So just thrilled to get Johnny, and that started off a really good night for us.
So before you even fired off the text to the group chat about being mad that they took a defensive player,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about you,
yep.
because I knew you were going to be angry that they took a D tackle when they have Payne and Allen. But Allen is probably gone after this year. His cap number is $23 million. They can get out of it for nothing.
Save some money there.
If Johnny Newton is elevated next year, and he's going to play a lot this year too, I think. If he's as good as they think he is, and it looks like he is, he might actually end up being one of their top 2 defensive tackles, supplanting one of those guys by the end of the season after Payne took a step back. Who knows? But if he's a starter next year in his second season, and he's really, really good, I think you could probably get behind that.
Sure. You want good football players on your team. I mean, to me, it was one of those things where I think they thought, this is a first-round player. We're not really thinking about this because he'll go. He'll be gone by the time we're picking at 36.
Yeah.
And I think the surprise that he's there, meaning that, guys, he's falling into the 20s. They thought he'd be gone in the teens or early 20s, whatever. They're going, we have a plan. We have a thought. But this dude's too good to pass up, and look how he fits in the Allen situation there. So, yeah, to me, I'm kind of going, oh, I really wish he wasn't a defensive tackle, and it was one of the other glaring, giant chasms of need that they have that mostly happen to be on offense where you have a rookie quarterback that you really could have upgraded right there. But it's hard to argue against the player. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of just watching some of those highlights. He wasn't someone that I was studying beforehand, but reminds us of some John Randall highlights back in the day, like quote unquote slightly undersized, but knocking people around and being disruptive.
They continued to work on that horrendous defense of a year ago. New defensive-minded head coach. When you hire a defensive-minded head coach and he brings in his buddy to be the D coordinator, You're going to make some defensive-minded picks early on, probably. And they did that again at number 50. Remember, they had 40. They moved it for 50 and 53. They get Mikey Sandristil from Michigan at pick 50 in round two. A fifth-year senior. Corner from Michigan is 23, ran a 4.47 40. First-team All-American, second-team All-Big Ten. 5'9 and change, about 182 pounds. He'll start right away, from what I'm told, in the nickel. They plan on putting him inside as their slot corner. Was born in Haiti, couple months old. He moved to the States, but he speaks Creole. Graduated with a degree already, working on a master's in social work. Like, high character, all-world guy everybody loves. Heart and soul of Michigan's football team. 15 games this year, because I don't know if you knew this.
They played extra. Yeah,
all the way to the national championship. Mm-hmm. He had a big interception in that game, by the way. 44 tackles, 5 TFLs, couple sacks, 12 passes defended, and 6 picks. I am a big Sandristil fan. I love that they added him. I think he's a good player. This, to me, could have been offensive tackle to start on the left side right away. This could have been special wide receiver who starts and kicks Dotson into the slot immediately. There were a few ways to go here, but if I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that they got a corner that I think will be good in the slot and a really high character guy that'll be great in the locker room, it's hard to knock it.
Yeah, I mean, this, I know it's two different regimes. I can't get over 3 cornerbacks in the first 2 rounds over 2 years, and the receiver that I wanted at 36 was there at 50, and A.D. Mitchell from Texas. That was disappointing to me. I know you're more excited about corner. That helps their defense. I mean, it does.
Wanted a wide receiver there, to be clear, but they had a massive need at corner. Just because they drafted 2 last year, they screwed that up pretty good.
Yeah, so that's different
still,
regimes.
They still had a need.
Yeah, to me, the screw-up is... Well, yes, the screw-up was made on defense. They're not going to be good on defense, even with these new guys.
It'd be better, though.
Sure. One's more than zero. They just don't see it the way that I see it in terms of their offense. Like, they think they're fine at tackle. They think they're fine at receiver. I disagree. I think that's a wonderful, healthy, fun thing to be able to talk about because it's just regular football stuff. I don't think they're incompetent. I thought the last group was incompetent, even though a couple of those guys are still here, which is neat. But to me, this was one of those, this felt more... I think maybe the defensive tackle was more luxury. This one made sense to me. Like, that guy, again, quality player, it'll upgrade the defense.
This was Adam Peters talking about Sandristil, the captain at Michigan.
And then moving to Mikey Sandristil, another captain, and another one where we were pretty nervous there because as it was coming down to him, I mean, that's what we had our sights set on. And Mikey is a guy who's impressed myself for a really long time since he was a freshman, seeing him catch passes, and he transitioned to corner and playing nickel, and had 6 interceptions last year and was really the heart and soul of that Michigan team. I think anybody will even tell you, I know JJ had a big part in that too, but I think anybody will tell you Mikey, as much as anybody, was a team leader. And I think what sealed the deal with us is when we went to the pro day, and he was incredible doing the DB drills, and then he was the best one on offense doing the receiver drills. Outstanding route runner, outstanding ball skills, and he could just go all day. And the night before, we had dinner with him, and he was as impressive off the field as he was on the field. So we were thrilled to get him. He'll be a great nickel.
Which was a need, maybe not the sexy one that you wanted to address right then, right there, but it makes him better. That was Sandristil out of Michigan at pick 50. They were back on the clock 3 picks later, thanks to the trade back, and they picked up a tight end. Now, they took a tight end, second one off the board, that I didn't anticipate them calling.
I didn't either.
I viewed him a little bit more as like an H-back, which is the same thing in the National Football League, frankly. He's got some Chris Cooley traits, I think, coming out. Cooley was a 3rd-round pick who ended up obviously becoming a fan favorite and a star here in D.C. Ben Sinnott, who at Kansas State at 6'3", 250, walked on and ended up becoming their leading receiver at the end of his career. A 4'6", 840, 21 years old, 4th-year junior, grew up playing hockey. I think that's where some of his physicality comes from. He was a 205-pound walk-on fullback as a freshman and put on 45 pounds, mostly of muscle. First-team All-Big 12 fullback, won the Lohman Trophy as the best in the country, led his team in receiving, more so as a tight end than in that lead blocking role, obviously, but he can block.
Yep.
And they comped him to Kittle. They comped him to Kyle Juszczyk. He's got San Francisco written all over him. In fact, one of the jokes leading up to the draft, whenever I saw people talking about Ben Sinnott, was that the 49ers were going to draft him, or like it would be weird if they didn't. Well, they kind of did, because Adam Peters, who helped put that team together, grabbed him. He went for 676 and six touchdowns with just two drops last season. But I think there's a little more skill and speed.
Yes.
Like, he caught four balls for 40-plus yards last season. When you hear fullback, I think you have, like, your mind made up on what kind of tight end someone is. It's not that. There is some open field ability and elusiveness and wiggle here. He led all tight ends in broad jump, vertical jump, three cone at the combine. This is an athletic player. And again, even though it wasn't necessarily the tight ends that we were talking about, I try to critique the draft more often than not, more from idea philosophy standpoint.
Uh-huh.
What did you take? What position? Why did you do it there? Than like player, because they're diving way deeper into these guys outside the quarterbacks. And they still are, even at quarterback. But at least at QB, we could study that for months and months and months. We're not spending hours and hours and hours on Ben Sinnott. So you take their word for it. But I love getting a weapon for your young quarterback. I love going tight end in the top 55.
This one made me all steamy. I love this. Now, I think you said it very well. I was not thinking about him there because that wasn't one of the names we had bandied about. But then I started reading, and as soon as I heard like San Francisco type player, you reference Juszczyk, you reference Kittle, the versatility, I'm now all in. This is my favorite non-Jaden Daniels pick of this entire draft. A, philosophically, I want that versatility. B, it addresses offense. I want a lot less John Bates, a lot more Ben Sinnott. Please and thank you. I love this pick. Love
That's it. The first four picks. Let's let you hear Peters on Sinnott really quickly before we step away.
And then you go to Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, and just really, you know, from my experience at the 49ers, learning from those guys and learning what they look for in tight ends with Coach Shanahan, Kyle, and everybody there, just seeing, and you know, it's a lofty comparison, and I'm not comparing him to the guys we had in San Francisco, but he reminds me of guys like Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle, the way he blocks and the way he moves and just the way he competes. And certainly not, you know, putting him in that. You know, those guys are all pros, pro bowlers, everything you'd want. But Ben has that same mindset, and he plays with that mindset. He can block really anywhere. You can put him in at the end of the line of scrimmage. You can block a D end.
That is the GM, Adam Peters, on his new tight end, Ben Sinnott. So that's the first four picks they made in the top 53. Jaden Daniels, Johnny Newton, Mikey Sanristil, and Ben Sinnott. Five players to break down as we go, and we will get into them. But next, Nate Tice of The Athletic is going to join us. He's one of their draft experts, did a phenomenal job breaking down the draft, and I learned so much from him throughout the process. He's going to stop by to give his thoughts on Washington's highly revered draft class next on Grant and Danny.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Commanders have delivered a 9-player draft class that's getting rave reviews. Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, first shot at putting together a draft board. Seems to have gone pretty well. Of course, it's all going to hinge on what Jaden Daniels becomes at quarterback. And right now, we wanted to go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Talk to Nate Tice, The Athletic, Yahoo Sports, former scout, does an awesome job breaking down the NFL, studying the film, and was a great resource to learn from, listening to all of his broadcasts leading up to the draft. Nate, thanks for a few minutes in D.C. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that intro. Yodo, happy to be here. And, yeah, happy to get to pick up amongst, like, 9 draft picks, or we could talk about, like, the 14 free agents they brought in.
Yeah.
Like, just a lot to do. So no matter what, it's just kind of fresh there, it feels like.
There's a chance there's going to be over 30 new players, right? 20-plus free agents, even counting all the guys down the depth chart. I mean, it's going to be a complete overhaul. But let's just kind of run through this draft class. I want to start with Daniels at 2. I know you were a big Drake May guy, but what do you make of them deciding to go Daniels and now trying to make this work with Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, I was a May guy, but there's a lot of qualities with Daniels. Obviously, that's why he went number 2. First and foremost, the thing with Cliff Kingsbury, even though he's an air raid guy, when he was in the NFL, the one cool thing that he showed with Arizona with Kyler was his rushing ability. Like the run game was actually one of the best parts when he was with the Cardinals. And I know a lot of people are like, we just drafted the guy number 2, and you're just talking about the run game. But it's actually a huge component of this. And so that's actually something I'm kind of excited about because of you want Daniels to get saved hits. And that's actually a good comparison with Kyler. You didn't want him to get hit too much. So they can kind of design it the same way. So that's one aspect I like. Also, just a lot of quick game, a lot of shorter throws. He's accurate. And actually, there's going to be a lot of carryover from what he's run in college to what Cliff Kingsbury runs. So I think there's going to be some adaptability. The offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson's there. He's an NFL guy. Run a lot of power concepts over his time. So I think there's going to be some fun melding, even if I prefer May, but they can make this work because of some of the qualities of Daniels and with Cliff runs.
Nate, one more Daniels one. What's the best way philosophically for you to ensure success, not only in the short term, but in the long term? Is it kind of like this transitional type offense where you're still doing some elements of what he did in college, or is it let's throw you into the deep end to see what you can handle? Like philosophically, balance that for me for what Kingsbury and company should be doing.
What's nice is there is a lot of carryover now from college to NFL as far as a lot of passing concepts. Not all of them. It gets more designery in the NFL, so that's going to have to be a big part of this, like, you know, third downs and all that. But he has some experience because he started so many games. Protections is always a big thing, you know, learning those things. He does show that he's already handled some of that in college again. So his transition, this is the whole point of drafting Daniels at number 2, is that he's more ready-made, kind of quote-unquote, as ready-made as you can be as a rookie quarterback. First and foremost, I think what they're doing is kind of getting at least B level or B minus level everywhere is a good way to do it. Not throwing him into a Trevor Lawrence in a Jacksonville situation, Justin Fields and Bears situation where they're just, it's, hey, you're on your own. Go figure it out. Which there's qualities to that. There's positive to that, but you also just want them to not develop scar tissue. So first thing for me is like, they're doing okay there where they have at least competency everywhere. I think always you just want O-line. You want to, like, just protect them so they don't, you know, get skittish back there and develop bad habits. So, you know, David Carr is always in the back of my mind. So those are things that I was just kind of focused on. I think they're doing a solid job of building it up around them just because of what they had and what they added.
Yeah, 2 weapons, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, Luke McCaffrey of Rice, we can come back to, that they added to McLaurin and Dotson and what they've already got, having brought in Austin
Eckler.
And
one of my favorite role players in Zacchaeus. So you're like, yeah, I was fired up about this role-playing slot receiver you guys got because the only good things happen when the ball goes to Zacchaeus, I'm telling you.
Alamide Zacchaeus, UVA guy in our backyard, yeah. So
yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
I never mentioned him, but he was brought in. But I want to go to the O-line for a second because it's something that you broke down quite a bit before the draft, and I'm sure you have a take on Brandon Coleman. But that's the one area where I'm nervous, where I would kind of take this group's plan so far to task a little bit. They don't have a left tackle. They cut Charles Leno, who isn't healthy. That's fine. But their starter right now is Cornelius Lucas, who's been a swing tackle in Chicago and in D.C. as kind of a third guy. Then you draft a number 2 overall quarterback who has a propensity to turn some pressures into sacks, and they made 4 picks without a left tackle. They ended up getting Coleman, who some see as a guard at 67. They really like him at left tackle, so I'm fine with that. I'll take their word for it. A, what do you think of Coleman? And B, are you surprised that we're through free agency and the draft is over and it still looks like Cornelius Lucas is their starting left tackle?
I think they got kind of caught where they made their intentions known, I think, to everybody that they were trying to move back up into the end of the first and take another lineman and another tackle. And I think they just kind of got snuffed out by other teams' big boards. So I think their plan, they had a plan for it. Yeah, I think just their ideal plan, plan A, and maybe even plan B, it fell through. And Coleman's like, all right, this is the best of this next tier where we're sitting at. So So I think they're just trying to make it work. It's not ideal. I'm not going to like defend it all the way, but I do think they tried to do something about it. I did like that they added Biadasz, even if he's a fine center, but at least he's handled, an NFL offense and shows that he has starter qualities, and that helps a rookie quarterback out a ton. But yeah, I agree that the left tackle thing is a little dicey, but I think it's going to be a throw bodies at a problem. I would say the one benefit of the quick game that I think they're going to run into, or shorter passes they're going to run into, the ball gets out quick. So we can hopefully mitigate some of the damage and mitigate some of that. I'm trying to be optimistic here.
Nate Tice of The Athletic with us here on G&D. Go to Sanders still, the cornerback. What did you see? What did you like? What do you not like?
Oh, love him. I think everybody loves him. I think a universal appeal with him. But I love that he's smart, first and foremost. And then he is undersized, but he did test. He's an explosive athlete. Like, it's not like he's this guy's not an NFL-level athlete. He's just smaller. But he legit could play all five spots back in the defensive backfield. So he's going to be a slot in the NFL, which I think is great because that position is so important now. You have to have a smart player there. He's smart. He's explosive. He's a good tackler. He can blitz. He can cover. So he's like a real fun, super utility role player that I really like. So I love that pick. Like I was going to say that him and Newton, don't want to get ahead of anything, but those two guys that the Washington drafted are just like fantastic players, just dynamic players too.
Yeah, I don't think anybody had Newton on the bingo card in D.C. because Allen and Bain have been so good, although, Allen could walk after this season.
Right.
More so, they would let him go. He's got term left, but nothing guaranteed. So it seems like maybe they're preparing for life after him. But based on what I heard from just conversations I had this weekend, they just felt like Newton was too good not to take.
Yeah, and there's something to that. And why not get a guy that can create explosives for your defense? And, he gives you a different flavor than Allen and Payne. And so when you move on from Allen, it gives you kind of that synergy, to use a nice corporate buzzword on it. But I think that that's what I think that's what another part of this, where you're bridging now and bridging the future. You just mentioned, you only have 1 year deal, 1 year left. If things go super well, maybe it's a trade deadline thing, and you go from there. But I liked it. I'm never going to be opposed to adding to the trenches, offense or defense. I know we just talked about tackle, especially if a guy falls there, because it's just so hard to find these guys. And he's a guy that creates stuff that not a lot of guys can.
Nate_Tice. You should follow him on social. Does a really good job breaking down ball and studying the film. What did you make of the Luke McCaffrey pick? I believe your colleague Dane Brugler at The Athletic had him ranked 25th among receivers. So this was maybe the one pick that felt like the previous regime where they took a guy that they like way, way, way more than everybody else. I'll take my chances with Adam Peters doing that over Ron Rivera.
Yeah, felt like it. Felt like a heat check. it did. One good thing is he catches everything. So you'll never be worried about that. You won't be worried about drops. He legit catches everything. So, that was a little – I had him more as like a fifth rounder. But you're getting to that point, and maybe just in their tier break and how they looked at it, there was a big drop off, going from the first round to the second, and then greatly so into the third and fourth. So maybe they're just like, hey, Ty goes to this guy that we have a preference for. So it was a little rich.
Ty goes to Christian McCaffrey's brother and Ed's son, right? Bet on the
blood. Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, I thought it was just another guy.
Yeah, if he was like Luke Stevens, I don't think anyone would care. Big picture, though, Nate, what I want to get out of you, it seemed like they had a type in general. You mentioned this. The thing that's kind of been buzzing around here for folks in the D.C. area is they're maybe puzzled by a couple of the picks, but although generally liking them, they wanted this athletic, hyper, toward the top of the board in terms of athletic skill, right? This relative athletic score that's now been making the rounds. All these guys were very much in the green for most of their spots and their attributes. Whether or not that translates into great football, I don't know, but it definitely seemed like they had a type here.
Yeah, and they obviously don't have a size threshold that they worry about. They truly are going for, no, we want the best athlete as opposed to maybe like the Packers and some teams, the Patriots actually now, but some teams have size thresholds for certain positions. Obviously, they took Saints Gerald, so they said, okay, we just want the ball player that is enough of an athlete overall as opposed to he has to be 190 or he has to be 200 or he has to be, Ben Sinat. Like, he's kind of a tweener. I see him as kind of an old H, which is funny because that's back in Washington, back in the Gibbs days. But kind of that hybrid role, he tested like a freak, though. Like, he tested so much better than I even anticipated. So that's kind of checking that mark for them where it's like, hey, we don't care about the size. Get this athlete on the field and we'll figure it out. So I mean, even looking at the quarterback, there's some teams that have that size thresholds for quarterback positions. And they said, well, we don't care. We're going to take the athlete and take the player that we like the best from film.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought of it that way. It's a good observation from Nate Tice. Before we let you go, your favorite pick they made and then maybe the head scratcher.
Newton. Newton is the one for me. Even if it's like adding, you know, a hat on a hat to the defensive tackle position, it's like, yeah, like you guys just alluded to, it's just too good of a pick. The one I would say is Benson. Not to me, I liked him a lot. I just was surprised he was the second tight end to go, from that position. But, you know, if they have a good use for him, I'm fine with it. He's not for everybody. But that one was just like a little like, oh, in the second. Okay. It was a little higher than I anticipated. But like you said, they kind of have their own board and their preferences.
Nate, great to catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a good week.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you for the time. There's Nate Tice with us of The Athletic here on G&D. Top of the hour. Caps got swept. Nats looking for a sweep today in Miami. Let's hit the rest of the players we haven't gotten to yet. The final four members of this draft class as we continue on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
G&D coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Been breaking down the Commanders draft class from the weekend. We've discussed Jaden Daniels, Johnny Newton, Mike Sanristil, and Ben Sinnott. Commanders getting their quarterback of the future, a defensive tackle to help impact games with Daron Payne and John Allen this year. He'll take over as a starter, presumably in year two. Mike Sanristil, the corner from Michigan, will start in the slot. And then Sinnott will pair up with Zach Ertz if he's healthy at the tight end position this season, but presumably will be the tight end weapon moving forward as a safety valve for Jaden Daniels. The one knock's going to be tackle, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
They did not address tackle until the 67th pick, right around the 10th tackle off the board. And it's a guy that a lot of people actually viewed as a guard. Now, Washington likes him not only as a tackle, but as a starting left tackle. And to their credit, 22 of his 26 starts in college, the last 2 years were at that position. 11 starts last season, second team all Big 12, missed a game with injury. Brandon Coleman, sixth-year senior, 23 and a half years old, 6'4", 313, a kid that was born in Virginia, moved to Berlin when he was 3 months old, was the pick. I have a hard time believing he'd be a week one starter, but maybe they think by the end of the season he could supplant Lucas. And this tells me they're going to be shopping all offseason now.
Yep.
The rest of the way looking for a tackle that got cut.
Hoping for the Charles Leno plan. Here's what I know. I've done this before. I don't know if you guys have in this fan base, where they think he can play tackle 45 minutes into the first practice. He's a guard. Or maybe you give it a season in Cosme's case, but the Brandon Scherff case would apply.
Do you give this front office any credence? Because it's Peter's a better decision maker, yeah, like a real GM. They didn't have one under... when Jay Gruden was the head coach, that was Bruce Allen. They didn't have one. That was Brandon Scherff I'm referencing.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have one in the last regime either. That was Ron Rivera.
I mean, certainly time will tell, obviously, if they're right about it. But what do I know? It's not like I scouted the guy. But every highlight I saw when he gets selected and Mel Kiper starts going like, very physical, dry blocker at the point of attack, looks to get to the second level, plays with a nasty streak. He was a guard. Every highlight they showed on NFL Network, every highlight they showed on ESPN during the draft, to flip back and forth, and I'm looking at all the different stuff, was great plays he made as a guard. I know he started more games to tackle, but all the highlight packages were of him doing great things as a guard.
Well, I think that's because they listed him as a guard. So they pulled out his guard.
And that's my second point, yeah, is he's listed as a guard. It just said G next to his name. Again, I hope they're right. I hope he solves the problem. But how sure are we that the guy in round three at 67 overall is the answer?
That is my one critique maybe of the offseason to this point, right? Like, I don't have to agree with everything they do. They hire Quinn, I would have gone somewhere else. They go Daniels, I'd have gone May. Whatever. Benefit of the doubt until proven wrong. You guys know what you're doing. Good luck. Let's rock and roll. But again, critiquing on philosophy, right? Not who did you pick at head coach or at this position? The philosophy of you had an entire free agency, and now you have had an entire draft, and a third rounder who's a lot of people see as a guard is kind of the plan with Cornelius Lucas. I'm surprised by that. I would have liked him to do a little more. I don't think the free agent crop was great. I don't think necessarily they passed on anyone that was, you know, a can't miss tackle. And I like that they got Newton. I really like the San Risto pick. I'm happy they got Sinet. So it's hard for me to be furious with any one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that in totality, from a 10,000-foot view, we all came into the season saying left tackle was a massive need when they cut Leno. And here we are on April 29th, and they really haven't done nearly enough about it. McCaffrey, I'm not going to get upset about it. I know a lot of people think this is a reach. I love bloodlines. I love second generation, in his case, the brother of an MVP-type player. Like, I think that there's some safety in that. Was a quarterback for 3 years, transferred to receiver at Rice, had just 3 drops last year, had 70 grabs and 13 touchdowns. In fact, he was one of 6 FBS wide receivers with 70 catches and 13 touchdowns last year. Caught a touchdown in 11 of 13 games. So everybody knew it was coming, and he was still able to make a contested catch in the end zone. Speaking of which, 17 contested catches for the 6'2 wide receiver last year, 2nd in FBS. They don't have anyone who's big and makes contested catches going up the ladder. McCaffrey becomes that guy. I actually think he'll play in the slot a lot, but you could kick him outside, kick Dotson inside. Uber athletic, 4.02 short shuttle, which was 2nd at the combine, 6.703 cone, 3rd at the combine. Former number 14 recruit in the country, number 1 player in Colorado. So like, there's twitch, there's bloodlines, there's a lot here that I like.
Yeah, so this is I know it's listed as a 3rd-round pick. This is a compensatory pick. It's really a 4th-rounder. I don't quibble over those. Like, there's an attribute, or as you said, there's a bloodline. There's a reason that it's compelling. He's still, I think, you know, kind of learning the receiver position. He's done everything else. Fine with that, honestly.
The rest of the way, they took linebacker Jordan McGee out of Temple in the 5th round. Was born in Towson, Maryland. Had 14 TFLs, 3.5 sacks, and 80 tackles in 11 games last year. Pretty physical player who can move, a little undersized. Then they took a safety. I think he screams Dan Quinn to me. Dominique Hampton out of Washington, the 23-year-old, 60-year senior, 6'2", 215. Danny, if you look at him, he's got those long arms,
yeah,
and the like in uniform watching his highlights. Like,
did you play in Seattle, buddy?
That's like one Legion of those, yeah, of Boom stuff. Mm-hmm. So I get it. And then they took a flyer on Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's the Notre Dame edge, who has kind of, was a 4-star recruit, has been a superstar, kind of high school, early college at Ohio State. hasn't put it all together, transferred, 6'5", 240, 23-year-old who's got some athleticism, blocked a field goal and returned it to 60 yards for a touchdown last year.
Yeah, seventh-rounder screams practice squad, at least maybe early, but that's the whole point. You're taking a flyer there.
Class is hard not to be excited about. So, next, we can get your thoughts on it. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. 800-636-1067. What did you like? What didn't you like? You're listening to The Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.